baked pies and cooked meats. Sheldon's, the friendly butchers at the Bullring Shopping Centre, Ludlow. Glaze Right of Ludlow, incorporating daylight windows.
Glaze Right are at St John's Lane in Ludlow and have all your glazing needs, including all types of mirrors and glass at competitive prices. Distance is no object for delivery and finest quality fitting is available by our own craftsmen.
Are you thinking of replacing those old and drafty windows? Then contact Daylight Windows at Glaze Right in St John's Lane, Ludlow. Telephone 4129.
Daylight Windows can supply all types of windows and doors, double or single glazed in UPVC, white or anodized aluminium, hard or softwood, and offer free surveys and quotations without obligation.
Pay less and forget the rest. Daylight Windows at Glaze Right, St John's Lane, Ludlow. Telephone Ludlow 4129. At the Bullring Shopping Centre in Ludlow, try Swifts for homemade bread and rolls and locally milled wholemeal. Swifts in the Bullring Shopping Centre, Ludlow.
Nowadays, the cost of running a car is exorbitant, let alone the cost of repairing one. That's where we can help, and help we do. Cleehill Motor Spares, dismantlers of cars and commercial vehicles with thousands of parts for hundreds of cars. Cleehill Motor Spares, every part is guaranteed. Most spares we have on the shelf. If we don't have it, we will find it. Remember, Cleehill Motor Spares. Have you got an MOT failure? Ring us now on Ludlow 4576 and ask for Cliff. And now here's our MOT, TO. You wreck 'em, we fetch 'em. Cleehill Motor Spares. Call Ludlow 4576. That's Ludlow 4576. And don't forget, we're open 7 days a week from 8 in the morning till it goes dark. Cleehill Motor Spares, Ludlow 4576.
Sunshine Radio.
Good morning to you. You're tuned to Sunshine Radio, broadcasting on 299 metres on the medium wave band. That's 1017 kilohertz. Are you still there? Oh, God, I always worry that you'll clear off when the break's on. But what you probably do is clear off when I'm talking. Quick request now that I've got to get in before 9 o'clock. It's very many happy returns of today, the 26th of February. And it goes out to Matthew Brown of Cleebury Mortimer. And this request has come in, Matthew, from your brothers Duncan and Andrew and your sister Katie and all of your friends. And I gather that you're 10 today, you're into double figures. Oh, what a little old man you are now. Now, they did ask that I played something by Roland Rat. Who? No, I'm sorry, I haven't got anything by Roland Rat, but something from the charts. It's number 26, and hopefully you like this, and you'll have a lovely day today, and lots of love to you from your family and all of your friends. 26 in the charts, just for Matthew Brown. Not for anyone else. Matthew of Cleebury Mortimer, it's your birthday. And just for you, Fiction Factory, and Feels Like Heaven. Good morning to you, and a happy birthday.
Heaven is closer now today. The sound is in my ears. I can't believe the things you say. They echo what I feel. Twisting the bones until they snap. Saddened eyes and tears to pay for.
26 in the charts. That's Fiction Factory and Feels Like Heaven. Now, that's production boy, isn't it? I just hit on that. It's 15 seconds now past 9 o'clock, and I'm very, very pleased to say that it's time for the Reverend Derek Jenkins and Sunshine on Sunday.
Yes, darling, you're now free to go. You're saying you're sorry you hurt me, but you hurt me much more than you know. You're asking me where this call comes from.
Television are a great help to such folk, and that is why it is very important that what does go out from a station such as this does cater for a very wide range of tastes and does not forget the older or disabled members of the community. This is why we began this morning with a song by Jim Reeves, who has a particular knack of reaching certain people, sentimental though he may seem to some. Loneliness can be an awful thing. Sometimes people in the city are more lonely than those in the country. You can be lonely in a crowd, whereas with all the beauty of the countryside, it's hard to feel you are completely alone when all nature is crying out with things to occupy our attention. Yet sometimes aloneness can be most important. We need to have time and opportunity to think and to gather up ourselves. People find this when they pray. But even though they may have no one else present, they never pray alone. As soon as we pray, we plug into a huge circuit which is carrying a vast amount of all kinds of prayer. There is praise and glory. There is sorrow for sin. There is the earnest prayer of thanksgiving for blessings received. And there is the heartfelt prayer for those in sickness or trouble of any kind. And all the time, there is the prayer of the Son of God, Jesus Christ himself, who, we are told, ever lives to make intercession for us. The other Sunday night, I was with a group of young people, none of whom could be said to be lonely, for they had come to form themselves into a Christian group. At the end of the evening, after having a varied program, they took a large circle of paper, divided it into 19 sections, one for each of the members and the helpers. Into each section they wrote a thank you or a petition of some kind. A candle was lit and all the prayers were read out. Just imagine that you are part of that circle, even if you pray alone. And imagine your prayer being joined to all those which will be offered up this morning at altars and prayer desks throughout the area. You will not walk or pray alone anymore, and your prayer will be all the more meaningful if you perhaps forget words and just bask in the presence of God in silence like this. Empty of all ideas, of all images, here I am, simply to meet you, Lord, without obstacles, in the silence of faith, before you, Lord. This is a way to use your aloneness, whether it be caused by bereavement, old age, divorce, or choice. A way to feel the power of silence, a rare commodity to many today, and in the silence to feel the power of the Holy Spirit. The presence of Jesus warming you and assuring you that you are not alone. We have his words to prove it. Lo, I am with you always to the end of time. O come to my heart, Lord Jesus. There is room in my heart for you. If you are not alone and are fortunate enough to live in a loving, caring family, see if you can't share your blessings with someone near you who is alone. Something on the lines of help the aged. Adopt a grand scheme. You could even share your prayers and feel those other words, where two or three are gathered together in my name, said Jesus. There am I among you. Thank you for listening. If you want to talk about anything I've said, drop me a line to P.O. Box 299, Ludlow, Shropshire, and we'll try and tackle it together.
I'm just on the blue side of Lonesome, right next to the Heartbreak Hotel.
Well, that was the Reverend Derek Jenkins, and I do apologise for the fact that you possibly couldn't hear that very well, but I know it was very, very low volume, but due to technical difficulties, I couldn't get any more volume out of it, and just in case you could hear it, I thought I'd let it run rather than cut Derek off in the middle, so apologies about that. But I will get my house in order for next Sunday, I promise you. Reverend Derek Jenkins will be back next Sunday at 9 o'clock. And once again, I do apologise for the very low recording level of that. But I was trying to bump it up a bit, but didn't manage to do it. Anyway, on with the music, because at 9:15, John Offold will be along with the Farming Report. Couple of lads from Down Under, they sing lovely songs. Air Supply, and this is one of those songs. Even the nights are better.
I was the lonely one, wondering what went wrong, why love had gone and left me lonely. I was so confused, feeling like I'd just been you. Then you came to me. broken heart. 'Cause now you've made a fire start, and I can see that you feel the same way. I never dreamed there'd be someone to hold me until you told me.
Supply, and even the nights are better, isn't it? Nice. Oh, the boss just phoned me up to tell me I got it wrong again, Dad. No farming report. Apparently the farming report only goes out on Sundays now. So, on Saturday. Oh, I'm not very well this morning. On Saturdays, John Offold gives you the farming report, not Sundays. So, that gives you and I a little bit longer together, doesn't it? And when we're out on our holiday at Marileva in northern Italy, one of the records that was being played a great deal, in fact, lots of records from the English charts being played, but one that I particularly like, it was played, at least every half an hour. This is one I'm going to play now. And I'll dedicate it to a couple who sort of fell down the mountains repeatedly with my wife and I. We all tumbled down the mountains from top to bottom. But towards the end of the week, we were managing to ski down. And it was lovely. It was fabulous. And we drank some wine, not a lot. We spilt most of it. And we listen to records like this. So this is for Ron and Gay. Somewhere in Ludlow, if they're awake, they love Queen and Radio Gaga.
When you're not there, you hang high.
Number four in the charts, and that was for Ron and for Gay, and we all sort of fell down the mountain, and Ron and myself, in one foolhardy moment one afternoon, skied down the mountain, all the way down, and that was lovely. Queen and Radio Gaga, number four in the charts. I wonder what that's doing. Oh, that's gone down two places. Just shows how out of touch I am. Morning, Stevie boy.
Good morning.
Oh dear. That was his teeth rattling. No, it wasn't. It was the Peter Temple Morris Trophy, which we won, didn't we?
We did.
Last night?
We did.
At the Conquest Theatre.
At the Conquest Theatre.
Didn't we?
But I must say...
Must you?
It was.
Oh, dear.
No, I think the biggest credit has got to go to your missus. Because bless her little socks, she didn't know she was going to be in it until... What was it?
She didn't know she was going to be in it until she married
till about
me.
Till about half past seven on Friday night.
Yeah.
And she did marvellously.
It's good, wasn't it?
Tactics? What?
Oh, she's got
some
big
tactics?
Ones, hasn't
she's
she?
Got massive tactics. What? But there we are.
That's
dear
lovely.
Listener, we've got it.
It's a shield.
We've
and
won it.
It's only the second year that it's been out and about. Last year it was won by the Hereford Gilbert and Sullivan Society. And right there... That'll yes. have engaged and not engaged.
Engraved.
Even.
Engraved.
Engraved. Sunshine Radio 1984.
Yes.
Isn't it exciting?
Oh, it's wonderful.
Can I have the 20 quid now?
Eh?
Ah, they are. We get down to the real business. And he goes, eh?
You better ask the boss about that, John.
That's Steve Powell, who's come in to do this special between 9.30 and 10.30. Nick and Arthur now, we program the Rotten Swine. Between 9.30 and 10.30. And he's featuring an interview with Dr. David Bellamy that he did the other night. Right, I've got a couple of records to get through. Stevie boy, you may sit there and sit, yes, and be quiet, and be good, for a change. And oh dear, he does look rough. I don't know what he was doing last night. A couple of records.
I stayed in the bar after you'd gone.
Yeah, I got some driving to do. Yeah. You only had to crawl around the corner, didn't you?
That's right.
Where was I here? Yes, two or three records to go. Only two by the looks of things now. One, this is a request. Do you know, for the past 5 or 6 weeks before I went away, I was playing a lovely new record by a guy called Lee Greenwood, and it's called IOU. Smashing. I think this was the only station, and I was the only announcer who was playing it. Hasn't done any good. And the 1 week I haven't brought it in, a request has come in for it. And it comes in from Beryl Handley, and she said, would I play it for her husband Gordon's birthday? Because yesterday he was 50 several. It was his birthday yesterday. Very many happy returns, Gordon, for yesterday. And I'm sorry I haven't got that record that Beryl requested. But what I have got... You like this, Stevie. You like the sentimental records, don't you?
Oh, yes. I'm very sentimental.
Now, this... Just hand me that... there's a sleeve over there. There's that sleeve there underneath.
That one.
Yeah, that one. This is lovely. Have you ever heard this?
No, but I think I'm going to.
This is... It's sort of Valentine's card sleeve. And... it's lovely. It's by a group called Alabama. So, Gordon, this comes to you from Beryl. Lots of love for your birthday yesterday, and you listen to this record. It's super. Alabama, and feels so right.
Don't say goodbye. Just hold me close and love me. Press your lips to mine. Feels so right. Feels so right. Beside you, I hear the echoes of your sighs. Promise me you'll stay with me and keep me warm tonight. Smile.
knows how. You're loving me so easy. Your wish is my command.
Just for you. Isn't that lovely? That's Alabama and Feels So Right.
You feel so right, baby.
Ah, well, as I said earlier on, all sorts of things going on for me at the moment. Apart from anything else, I'm changing jobs. I left my old firm on Friday, and it was nice. The girls out of the office called me in to say cheerio. So here's my way of saying bye-bye to you, to Bonnie, to Bronwyn, to Jane, Tracy, Sheila, Zena, and to Eve Lawley as well. This record's for you. Breaking Up Is Hard To Do from Neil Sedaka, and that was to Bonnie, Bronwyn, Jane, Tracy, Sheila, Zena, and to Eve Lawley. At about 2 minutes to ten, but I'm finishing at 9:30, about 40 seconds to go, then Steve Powell will be along with a special lasting for 1 hour. Foot Tapper and the Shadows, taking me out. I'll be back next Sunday morning at 7 o'clock. In the meantime, you make sure you take good care of yourselves, won't you, please? Thanks very much for being there on this Sunday morning. It's lovely to be back. I've enjoyed myself. I hope you have too. And we'll try and pick some good records for next Sunday. So until then, bye-bye now. Do take care and be good to each other. Bye.
A very good morning to you. Steve Powell at 9.30. My thanks to Dave Dunn for the last, what's it been, 2.5 hours. But we do have a little bit of a special for you today, as it's Sunshine Radio's birthday today. And last week, on Friday night, I went trogging over to Malvern with my little tape recorder and had a chat with a gentleman by the name of Dr. David Bellamy, who I'm sure you've heard of. There's one thing, we live in a world with a lot of problems, ecology-wise. We live in a world which is beginning to crumble. As regards the environment, we perhaps don't look after the environment as much as we should. Could I perhaps look at whose fault it is? Take a look at the environment, at conservation, at linking conservationists and farmers. But let's remember always one thing. That this world we live in, this is man's world.
Moves patiently, restlessly free. Restlessly free. Shaping the rocks and shifting the sand. Sometimes at peace and sometimes in storm. Making and breaking the land, and this is man's world, to make or to mar, a cinder in space, or a bright shining star. Trees stand proudly and beautifully tall, beautifully tall. Strong as they are, they bend with the breeze, taking the sun, but given their shade. Growing and shedding their leaves, and this is man's world, to love and to learn. A forest of trees, or a fire to burn. Hills lie silent and distant and dark. Distant and dark. Cutting the plain and touching the sky. There where it's cool and thoughtful and still. That's where the birds of prey fly, and this is man's world, to seek and to find. A mountain of hope, or the end of mankind. Snows blow coldly and bitter and bright. Bitter and bright. Choking the air and chilling the earth. Then spring unlocks the rivers and lakes. Then comes a time of rebirth, and this is man's world, to have and to hold, caressed by the wind, and a sky full of gold, and this is man's world.
This is man's world. It is indeed. It's a beautiful world. And one of the people who enjoys telling us about man's world is Dr. David Bellamy. David Bellamy, until recently senior lecturer in botany at Durham University, where he now holds the post of honorary professor of adult and continuing education. An international authority on peatland ecology, plant life and the environment, his studies have taken him across the world from New Zealand to the far north of Canada. He's the author of 80 scientific papers and 14 books. He's written and presented numerous television programs for both BBC and the IBA, including Bellamy on Botany, Bellamy's Britain, Bellamy's Europe, Botanic Man, Don't Ask Me, Upper Gum Tree, The Four Seasons, Backyard Safari, Bellamy's New World, many others. His programs have won many national and international awards, including the much-coveted Richard Dimbleby Award at the British Association of Film and Television Arts in 1978. Amongst many official duties, he's president of the Youth Hostel Association and Watch, a vice president of the Flora and Fauna Preservation Society, Young People's Trust for Endangered Species, and the School Sailing Association. He's a director of the Conservation Foundation, on the Council of the World Wildlife Fund and the Wildfowl Trust, and he's patron of the West Midlands Youth Ballet. Right. So, I went and chatted to David Bellamy in Malvern, and I first asked him, when did his interest in natural history begin?
Well, I suppose it was when I was extremely young. I started my life in London during the Blitz, and you couldn't really move about much. My father was a pharmacist, and in those days they did still grow some of the plants to make the medicine. So I was always there, but it wasn't really until I was 21, I'd left school and was doing many other jobs, that I met two guys who were both natural historians, and they turned me on, and that was it, you know. From then on, off we went.
And what about the television side of things?
Well, that sort of really crept up on me, because I teach at the University of Durham, and I was one of the only people in the world working on marine pollution when the Torrey Canyon went down. Mm-hmm. So the media found me and dragged me screaming from my ivory tower, and I've been on television ever since.
Because you developed this incredible style of being able to communicate with all ages by being so natural. Is it a natural thing, or do you have to put any effort into it?
I don't think so. No, it's how I talk. If I talk about the jam at the breakfast table, I talk in the same way. It certainly isn't put on. No, I'm no actor. I never went to acting school. It just happened.
Because you've made it great fun. How difficult is it to communicate, say, with adults and then children at the same time?
Well, I don't think it's at all. I mean, you know, it's a wonderful, interesting world out there, and I just talk about it. I mean, it's the world that's interesting. It's not David Bellamy. I think a lot of people do perhaps get a bit upmarket when they, you know, if you are an expert on something, it becomes very precious, doesn't it? So you start using wonderful jargon and things. And although I'm an expert on certain things, I've never let it become precious. Perhaps it's the fact that I didn't go sailing through school and sailing through university and sailing into a job. I, you know, worked in factories. I painted white lines down the road. I collected deck chairs on the beach, you know. And I learned how to talk to a whole range of people, and I've just gone on doing that.
One of the things you have done is stimulate a lot of interest with young people. Young Stuart is known by his friends in school, believe it or not, as Stuart Bellamy, because he's a great wildlife fanatic. He's got pets and this sort of thing. Stuart, you wrote to us and said there was one particular question that you'd like to ask Dr. Bellamy. What is it?
Well, what is one of the best strange pets you can keep?
The best strange pets you can keep? Mm. Goodness gracious. Well, there are so many these days. We at home have cats. We at home have, I think it is 26 guinea pigs at the moment, because they keep having more guinea pigs. I had a swan, a pet swan. It was one of six that were killed by some children on the Manchester Ship Canal, and just one was saved, and we had to cut a wing off just to save her life, and she lives in the garden. And she's quite a strange pet, I must say. I once had a crocodile as a pet. Someone gave me this crocodile. It was about 18 inches long, and it used to live in a washing up bowl underneath the radiator. And when we got up in the morning, it used to come and bite our toes. It was an extremely friendly thing. What else? Goodness gracious. Silkworms. I think silkworms make nice pets because you can actually get the things and then you can, get the whole, they spin their cocoons and you can actually make silk from them. You can change the colour of the silk by feeding them with different things. And then, of course, you can watch the silk moth mating and then lay their eggs and do the whole cycle. And I started, I remember, with, oh, I must have been about your age when I was 8, and suddenly by a couple of years later we had thousands and thousands of them. In fact, we kept them in the old tall boy and all the drawers were full of the different stages of the life cycle of silkworms. Silkworms are good, yeah. But, you know, there are so many things. And you, even if you go out into your garden, you'll find dozens of different sorts of moths, and you can actually bring some of these into captivity and learn about their whole life cycle, you know. And some of the moths that you will commonly see in your
music in a minute, and then come back in a second to answer a few other questions that have been put to us. Reading a little biography thing about you that was sent to me, one of your hobbies, or your main hobby outside natural history, is ballet.
Well, my main interest, I mean, yeah. It can't be a hobby, because, you know, you have got to be a very, very dedicated and highly trained and extremely fit person to do it. But, yes, it is my great interest. I've just finished actually writing a ballet, which I hope will be performed in 1985. Yes, next year is 84 now, yeah.
Right, well, we'll play a piece of ballet music.
So,
especially for Dr. David Bellamy, that was the overture to Tchaikovsky's ballet The Nutcracker, performed there by l'Orchestre de la Suisse Romande. Have some more from David Bellamy right after the break.
Sunshine Radio.
Attention all record lovers, the big event is here. It's the Telford Record Fair at Belmont Hall, Wellington, Telford, and it's on Saturday, March the 3rd, starting at 9:30 a.m. The Telford Record Fair offers over 100,000 records with everything from the 1950s right up to date. All under one roof at Belmont Hall, Wellington, on Saturday, March the 3rd. There will be dealers from all over the country with bargains, deletions and rarities of all types. Admission is only £1 at 9:30 and after 11 o'clock it's 50 pence. That's the Telford Record Fair, Belmont Hall, Wellington, on Saturday, March the 3rd at 9:30 a.m. Make sure you're there early. There'll be a record attendance.
Here today, ladies and gentlemen, we give you the unshrinkable sausage. Yes, friends, the unshrinkable sausage weighs in at a mighty 5 to 6 ounces, and it's unbeatable. Made with real farmhouse pork, turkey or ham, with homemade seasoning. Ideal for pubs, clubs, restaurants and the trade. This is the big one, the unshrinkable jumbo sausage. I bet you can't eat too. I know I couldn't. Available only at Emlyn Jones, the family butcher, here in the Top Shop, Ponsbury. They also, believe it or not, have Welsh lambs, cut and packed for your freezer. Only 89 pence a pound. You can't beat that. Here at Emlyn Jones, the Top Shop, Pontesbury. Telephone Shrewsbury 790369.
Farmers, look after your crops the right way. Insist on the right chemical for the right crop at the right time. The experts in crop management are AR Chemicals in Tembury Wells. AR Chemicals supply agrochemicals, lime and fertilizers, and offer aerial and land spraying services in addition to a slug pellet spreading service. Telephone John Rawlings at AR Chemicals on Tembury 811-185 or call us Greenhill Springs, Kirwood Road, Tembury Wells, just opposite Palmer's Meadow. That's AR Chemicals. You can telephone them 7 days a week on Tembury Wells 811-185. AR Chemicals, the professional. National Hunt Racing over the Sticks at Ludlow Racecourse on Thursday the 1st of March. The sixth race program commences at 2:15 and includes the Forbrook Gold Challenge Cup steeplechase over 3 miles. The last race is at 4:45 and admission is only £2. If you fancy a private box, they are available for occasional or long-term hire. There are dining rooms, 7 bars, friendly punters and ample parking. For a fantastic afternoon out, come to Ludlow Races this Thursday the 1st of March at 2:15. And remember, bring your shirt.
You're better off when the music's on. Sunshine Radio, the leader.
Now I always wanted a pet. Not the kind that the other kids get. I didn't want a dog or a cat or a parrot or a mouse. But I was walking in the woods by the shore when I found what I was looking for. With a neck like a lamppost, a body like the side of a house. He gave me a smile. But before I knew, he was my friend. And he's bigger than an elephant too. There's nothing like him in the zoo. Brontosaurus, will you wait for me? Don't hide your head up there in your favourite tree. You know, I just want a word with you. I can see that you're very shy. But how can I have a word when you're way up high? Brontosaurus, will you wait for me? Wanna tell you how happy the two of us could be. I'd take you home, nobody would know. I'd walk you every day. You'd never find a better home. What do you say? Now I haven't told anyone yet about the brontosaurus I met. No, I didn't tell me mam nor me dad. No, I didn't take a chance.
take him for a walk most days. He acts just like a puppy when he plays. Trot little old like a steamroller going to a dance. In a little while, our friendship grew. Yes, he's my friend. And he's bigger than an elephant too. There's nothing like him in the zoo. Brontosaurus, will you wait for me? Don't hide your head up there in your favourite tree. You know, I just want a word with you. I can see that you're very shy. But how can I have a word when you're way up high? Brontosaurus, will you wait for me? Want to tell you how happy the two of us could be. I'd take you home, nobody would know. I'd walk you every day. You'd never find a better home. What do you say? Brontosaurus, will you wait for me? Don't hide your head up there in your favourite tree. Brontosaurus, will you wait for me? Don't hide your head up there in your favourite tree. Brontosaurus, come on down, come on home. There's a good boy. Brontosaurus, will you wait?
Brontosaurus, or rather Brontosaurus, will you wait for me? And that, of course, is the inimitable Dr. David Bellamy, to whom we are now returning. As I said, I popped along last week to have a chat to David, took young Stuart with me. That song aimed, obviously, at children. It was released as a single back in it was recorded in 1980. But I think I seem to remember hearing it on television, on Russell Harty or something, last year sometime. Right, aimed at young people. I asked David what advice he could give to a young person possibly interested in making a career in natural history or wildlife conservation.
Well, I'm afraid one has got to do a lot of hard work these days. You've got to get a degree, and you've probably then got to go on and get a PhD, and you've then got to keep your fingers crossed that there are jobs at the other end. But a university education isn't just a meal ticket, and anyone who can do their O-levels and A-levels, go to university, take the opportunity with both hands, because if you don't, you're going to regret it all your life. And even if you do a degree in, you know, botany or zoology, it doesn't mean that you've actually got to have a job in that. A university training trains you for everything. And some of my most satisfied and satisfying students have got very good degrees, gone into commerce, made lots more money than you'd ever actually make out of being an academic botanist, but they have it as a hobby. And you know, I have one guy who travels the whole world looking for, you know, buying for a certain firm, and then he will say, you know, send me a postcard saying, do you know that plant you talked about in the second year, I've just actually seen it. So you see, anything you study at university, you've got a hobby for life. And of course it needn't be natural history, it can be the fine arts or something like that. Then you go out into a job. I think that perhaps it's what is wrong with our education system. We do tend to get plugged into something when we're very young and think it's going to be our livelihood as well. Much, much better than to allow it to be a hobby.
Right. One of the things that you were very much in the press with, I think it was the middle of last year, was the Tasmanian dam problems there. Could you just bring us perhaps up to date on what happened?
Well, it was very, very early on last year, actually, back in January. This time last year I was sitting in prison in Tasmania. Yes, I mean, you know, the people of Australia said this place wasn't going to be flooded. The Franklin River, it was a very, very important site in world terms, and they clubbed together and put in $1.3 million, and we fought the blockade, and then we fought the election, and we actually helped throw the Fraser government out, because Bob Hawke said that he would save the dam, and Bob Hawke won the election, and the dam is safe. You know, it was a long, hard struggle, but well worth it, because it's one of the very special places on this earth. I could have taken our friend here and we could have gone swimming in the water and seen duck-billed platypi, and they would have come up and nibbled away at our feet. You know, and there are animals and plants that grow nowhere else on earth, so it was very special, and we won it.
Lots of people, of course, in this country, we've got conservationists, we've also got, in this area, of course, in Shropshire, a lot of farmers.
And we'll come and find out what the farmers had to think about David Bellamy in a minute. Yes. Yes, farmers, stay listening, because we had some questions from a farmer, and we're going to be putting those to David very, very shortly. Some of the questions that and comments that farmers had, some of them possibly quite a bit controversial. I was actually quite surprised when I heard David Bellamy's answers. Stay listening. Going to play another track off the album that I started with, This Is Man's World. This is actually an album made, back in 1970, in fact, 13, 14 years ago now, for the World Wildlife Fund. And it's got a lot of songs on it about conservation, about wildlife, about natural history, and about people's attitudes to wildlife. And, of course, they tend to be very much of a folky nature. The first one, This Is Man's World, was with Rick Jones. This one, Sandra Kerr. So what you think of it, it's called Do You Want to Come Clean?
One Monday morning I woke up and staggered out of bed. I opened up the window to try and clear my head. I took a sniff of London air, I thought I should have died. For the stuff that I inhaled was grade A carbon monoxide.
Oh, I've had enough of this pollution. My constitution is in confusion. Environmental revolution is the solution if you want to come clean.
I went out on a tandem for a pleasant little ride with a mate of mine who said he knew the English countryside. We rode past miles of rubbish dumps and fields of crime and grit. I said, where the hell's the country?
He said, matey, this is it.
Oh, I've had enough of this pollution. My constitution is in confusion. Environmental revolution is the solution if you want to come clean.
I went down to the river with my little fishing line. I thought that for my dinner some fish would do me fine. No sooner had I got a bite, all landed fair and square, when it said, thank God that you caught me. It was really hell in there.
Oh, I've had enough of this pollution. My constitution is in confusion. Environmental revolution is the solution if you want to come clean.
On a beano down at Southend, I dived into the sea. I came up covered in oil and slime, as black as I could be. An immigration officer, he caught me by the shoulder, said, we'll send you back to Pakistan before you are much older.
Oh, I've had enough of this pollution. My constitution is in confusion. Environmental revolution is the solution if you want to come clean.
I took a rocket to the moon to try and find a place still clean and pure enough to feed and house the human race. I circled in me spacecraft and brought it into land and stepped into a pile of rusty Coca-Cola cans.
Oh, I've had enough of this pollution. My constitution is in confusion. Environmental revolution is the solution if you want to come clean.
We know what we're doing, lass, for where there's muck, there's brass.
Oh, I've had enough of this pollution. My constitution is in confusion. Environmental revolution is the solution if you want to come clean.
When I woke up, that dream I had, it really made me think. It's not enough to go around and cause a great big stink. Those boys do that already. Clean land, better clean them up
solution. My constitution is in confusion. Environmental revolution is the solution if you want to come clean.
Sunshine Radio News.
Local news at 10 o'clock. Good morning, I'm Carol Barnes. South East Shropshire should start to benefit from a new £3 million water supply scheme this coming week. A new 15-mile-long pipeline has been laid as phase one of extended distribution of water into the area by Severn Trent Water Authority. The new supply should alleviate the familiar twice-yearly water cuts and drops in pressure in parishes such as Clibbury Mortimer, Mamble, Eastham, Knighton-upon-Teme, Tenbury and Keir. It's in areas like these that householders have had to reduce water consumption regularly in the summer when supplies have been stretched. Severn Trent say the new water will be harder but of better quality. Recent discoloration of the mains water over the last few weeks has been caused by tests on the new plant. The Water Authority hope to supply a further 15,000 people early next year, when another 7 miles of new water mains have been laid. This will then extend Severn Trent Water as far as Ludlow. There's been a revolt by some Ludlow market stall holders following rent rises proposed by South Shropshire District Council. The rises would affect rates paid by stall holders at Ludlow's indoor market, and also rent for pitches at the Buttercross and outdoor sites. Traders have written to the council protesting at what they claim constitutes a 33% rate increase for some stalls, way ahead of inflation, they say. They claim that since most stalls at Ludlow's indoor market are run by local people, they're already paying district rates. The protests will now be considered by the Health and Amenity Committee. The Chief Executive of South Shropshire District Council, Mr. George Kellett, has urged parishioners at Clibbury to support a scheme for new starter homes in the village. 12 months ago, a starter home project for Clibbury was abandoned when no prospective tenants or buyers came forward to make the scheme viable. Now an association calling itself the Spiral Housing Association has presented new plans for a part purchase, part rental starter home scheme. The parish council are now seeking support from younger people in the area before looking into potential sites and sellers in Clibbury. There'll be an open parish meeting on the subject attended by a representative of the Spiral Housing Association on April the 18th. Finally, traders in Ludlow are to ask Ludlow Town Council Clerk, Mr. George Stevens, not to allow stallholders of this year's Ludlow Mayfair to set up their stalls in the streets of the town until the afternoon before the fair's due to open, on Friday, April the 27th. The decision has the full backing of Ludlow's Chamber of Commerce, who say they don't want the fairground traders in the streets before that time. That's all the local news for now. I'll be back again at 12:30.
Sunshine Radio.
One of the great armored dinosaurs, and its close relatives lived in North America and right here in England around 140 million, yes, million years ago.
Oh,
they
grew to be over 6 metres in length and weighed up to 2 tons. Gentle monsters who always ate up their vegetables as they went about their everyday business in their own prehistoric world. Dinosaurs were a very successful group of reptiles which ruled the earth for 140 million years. They all became extinct around 65 million years ago, and even the most experts of experts don't really know why. They do, however, agree that without them the living world would be a very different place, and that man himself may never have ever originated.
O Stegosaurus, the B-side of that single, Brontosaurus, Will You Wait For Me? Courtesy of Dr. David Bellamy. Right, this is the nitty-gritty bit. This is where we get to the farmers. Oh, yes. This is where we get to the farmers. I think the best thing to do is just to ask the question on tape, as I did, so that you can see it was absolutely genuine. There was no priming with the questions at all. Back to David Bellamy in Malvern.
Lots of people, of course, in this country, we've got conservationists. We've also got, in this area, of course, in Shropshire, a lot of farmers. And we did get some comments from a farmer. Now, I'm putting these to you. I can tell everybody completely spontaneously. And please feel free to answer honestly. One of the big problems that we get in this country is with straw burning and stubble burning, which is a problem. And the comment was made that although they actually burn millions of pounds worth of straw, all the straw that can be sold is. And he put a comment, do you ever know a farmer that burns money? And they said that a good burn is worth £20 an acre to a farmer in potash value and the burning of weed seeds and rubbish.
Well, I'd say yes, I do know farmers that burn money, because I see farmers tearing up hedgerows and then expecting the government to subsidise them, A, to pull the hedgerows up, and then B, to put them back a bit later, say, to keep their soil on the land. I have never ever spoken one way or the other on straw burning. I don't actually think straw burning does all that much harm in biologic terms. If a farmer burns his straw properly, the burn is very rapid, and actually the penetration of the heat into the soil is very small. Okay, a certain number, if it burnt at the wrong time when there were birds and things nesting, but good farmers don't do that. But of course there are farmers let the whole thing go whoomph, and the hedgerows and everything goes, and two people were actually killed in a motor accident in the northeast. There are methods, and I am now seeing very, very interesting, some fantastic farmers in Shropshire. I was having tea with one the other day who got an award for being the best conservational farmer in Shropshire. It's like there were goodies and there were baddies. But there are now machines. Funny enough, I've got some of it down in my car downstairs, where you take the straw, you compress it, and you can sell the stuff at £78 a ton. Now, he said it was worth 30 quid in potash. Okay? So get a farming cooperative round about him to invest in one of these machines, and he is making £48 a ton, and that, isn't burning money, that is using it properly. And then he can use some of that money to buy the potash he needs.
Right, another comment that was made, what do you think about the so-called animal lovers who let out hundreds of mink, etc., and then go and kill other wild animals, domestic animals and fish?
I think they're absolutely mad. But do remember that there are extremists on both sides. There were extreme farmers down on the Somerset Levels who went and burnt the effigies of certain conservationists. They didn't burn my effigy, but they were just showing they were stupid little boys. And they happened to be stupid little boys and girls in the conservational side. And those people who let out those mink are total 100% idiots. But I do have to be rather careful, because I am under a death threat from some of the animal rights people myself at the moment.
Good Lord.
You see, because if, as I do, I cannot decry out of hand hunting, I cannot decry out of hand certain forms of intensive farming, because without it we would all die. I will not turn around and say, no, don't use farm chemicals, because without farm chemicals more people would start to die. So, please, let's all realise they're idiots and they're a good and baddies on both sides, and let's stick with the goodies.
Right. Comment. Sprays and fertilisers are a must and here to stay. Farming without sprays and fertilizers is like running a car without a fuel, or David Bellamy without a beard.
Well, I must say I agree with him 100%, although I could actually get on quite well without my beard. I mean, if I have ever stood up anywhere on television and said and been against farm chemicals, then I would like to know when I did it. I live in a farming community. I eat food. I know I desperately am worried that while we're talking 28 children in the world will die of malnutrition. If we stop using farm chemicals, not 28, but 128 will die every minute. So I agree with him. Super farmer. He's got his head screwed on the right way.
The last one, possibly, now I don't know what your politics are, there's a comment here, conservationists are left-wingers who are jealous of landowners.
What a load of cobblepot. What an absolute load of cobblepot. Tonight I am lecturing here in Malvern, okay, and the County Conservationist Trust will be there. County Conservationist Trust, they are more county than Mrs. Thatcher ever dreamt of being. Conservationists are people who've got their heads screwed on the right way, who actually do believe that farmers should leave the land in good heart. Now, I've driven here today from Reading, and I've seen some absolutely marvellous farms, and I've seen some bad ones. And very often when you see the hedgerows and things have gone, so is the soil. I have just finished doing a nature trail for the M5 that comes down, or yes, it's the M5. I've been travelling on so many motorways that I'm getting muddled up. But as one comes down, I have said, every time you look out of your car and tell the driver before you do it, if you see a farmer with well-laid hedgerows, give him a cheer. If you see all the hedgerows gone, give him a boo, because not only is he killing off the landscape for the conservationists, but he's also killing off his own livelihood. And there are more farmers now, you know, over in East Anglia planting hedges than there are tearing them up. That's a good positive way forward.
Last week, Prince Charles launched an appeal to raise, I think it was £500,000, to provide a conservation worker in every county to link farmers and conservationists. Obviously, this is going to be a good thing.
Well, of course it must, because there is so much bigotry that goes on. I mean, the media, radio, newspaper, television, they always like showing a punch up, don't they? If David Bellamy, you know, was going to go down and tell a farmer, you know, that will be reported. But the good things aren't reported. You try and get the fact that a farmer has just laid a hedgerow properly and he's got 136 pairs of some bird nesting on his land. You can't get it in the papers. That's the sad thing. Let's have a bit of positive reporting as well as negative.
Because it does go on, obviously, these good things.
Yeah, and of course, the Prince of Wales is a farmer. He owns he's a big landowner, and he does understand the problems. And, you know, he's one of the real goodies in this world.
Right. Well, we'll come back to some more questions from Dr. David Bellamy. In fact, the final lot of questions. And a little bit more music. And an extract from a very special record that David's made. We'll play an extract from it today. We'll be playing more of it in the near future. Probably next weekend or in a fortnight's time. Right now, though, with the time at 13 minutes past 10 o'clock, we'll take a break.
Protect your home or commercial premises from theft or general vandalism with up-to-date high-technology equipment. Internal and external protection from flats to farms with equipment ranging from locks to closed-circuit television cameras. Secure your property for as little as £165 or for as much as you think you need. For full details and a free quotation, telephone Alec Jackson on Ludlow 2596 or Bridgnorth 2187. All our equipment is guaranteed and distance is no object. All installation is carried out to high standards by our own engineers. Just telephone Alec Jackson on Ludlow 2596 or Bridgnorth 2187 and make your home safe before you're sorry.
H&H Haywood, West End Garage, Clibbury Mortimer, for Ford. The family cars that give you more. See the stars from Ford. Fiesta, Escort, Capri, Granada, Sierra, and now the Orion. The newest and brightest star in the Ford galaxy at West End Garage, Clibbury Mortimer. Let us value your car for part exchange and make you an offer. Ford cars, good service, petrol and MOTs. The complete answer to all your motoring requirements. West End Garage, Clibbery Mortimer. Telephone Bert Haywood on Clibbery Mortimer 270384 for first class professional attention.
Attention all Honda owners. Your local Honda experts are M&B Engineering at Far End Frith Common Tenbury Wells and are the people to see for Honda TN7 and ACTI repairs. M&B Engineering will do anything from a service to a complete engine rebuild on your Honda. They supply and fit new and used parts and will quote for any repair you may require. M&B Engineering buy and sell good used trucks and are fully qualified agricultural engineers. They'll also carry out all your on-farm repairs. Ring Terry or Mick at M&B Engineering on Urdiston 433, 7 days a week. M&B Engineering will repair anything from a chainsaw to a Honda pickup or motorbike. They'll even prepare your car for its MOT test. M&B Engineering, Far End Frith Common, just by the post office, or telephone Terry or Mick on Urdiston 433 for a 7 day a week service. M&B Engineering, your local Honda experts.
Sunshine Radio.
The time 60 minutes past 10 o'clock, and we'll return now to the interview with David Bellamy, the last extract, in fact, from a very, very interesting interview that I had with Dr. Bellamy. And I can tell you he's completely natural. It's exactly as you see him on television, very much larger than life. This incredible squashed nose that is just amazing, and a super, super man. I put a question to him. If you were listening to Sunshine last Friday on the news, you'll have heard that a survey had been published by the Anti-Vivisection Society, which showed that 73% of people interviewed were against animals being used in experiments at the Portendown Government Research Centre in Wiltshire. Now, I feel very strongly about this. I agree with it. I put the comment to David Bellamy that obviously he would agree with it. But did he see any alternative?
At this moment, I don't. I don't think animals should be used for non-essential experiments. I think to use animals to test cosmetics and things,
this
or aftershave.
This was for chemical warfare.
Well, I mean, I don't think we should be messing about with chemical warfare anyway. But I then have to put my hand on my heart and say I'm also not a disarmer, because having lived in Poland some part of my life, I do not want to live under that sort of regime. I'm afraid until mankind pulls himself together and sees that this is a very wonderful world in which we live, and if we don't actually get together and look after it, we can smash it to pieces. That's why I'm here lecturing. I'm doing 15 lectures saying that exactly that every night. If we don't conserve, we're going to push the button for the non-renewable resources which are left. So I don't think animals should be used. I don't think we should be doing that with sort of research, number one. I don't think animals should be used for doing anything but non-essential medical research. And even there, I think in the future we'll see it all done on tissue culture anyway.
Yes. Finally, advice possibly again. People walking around, I wandered around, I drive around, I've seen a barn owl, in fact, yesterday, which I've been told is quite rare now. Followed me in front of the car for about half a mile, flitting along in front of me. Any advice for people who want to get involved with conservation, possibly youngsters, younger people, out-of-work people, how can they do it on a practical level in their own little way?
Well, there are three things they can join. One is their local county conservation trust, and that has a wonderful thing called Watch, which is a junior branch. If you're into birds, of course, you become a member of the Royal Society of Protection of Birds or YOC Young Ornithologist Club. Then there is the British Trust for Conservation Volunteers. If you actually want to go out and get your feet muddy and dirty and lay hedges and learn those, there's that to join. And then there's the Youth Hospital Association, of which I must say I'm president, so I sit here wearing a number of hats, being president of Watch and vice president of this, that and the other. But the Youth Hostel, I'm trying to change its image to be Your Heritage Access, YHA, because there are work groups there all looking after the countryside. But number one, everyone who cares, and every farmer who cares, should be a member of the County Conservation Trust, because then they'll find if there is some punch-up brewing in relation to something which is going around on his farm, he can get the expert advice from the County Conservation Trust for nothing, okay? And just sitting around with a cup of tea in the back of the farm, usually overcomes all the problems. It never gets to the punch-up stage, it never gets into the paper, so it's all positive.
Lovely. When are we going to see you on television again next? Any new programmes?
Yeah, there's a new series coming out about woodlands in Britain, past, present and future, and that should be on the screens April, May this year. I'm not quite sure.
Right. David, you've made wildlife conservation a lot of fun for a lot of people. May you go on doing that for a long, long time. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.
Yes, a superman indeed, Dr. David Bellamy. We had a great fun interview. I was only sorry I couldn't stay and see the talk that he gave, which I understand was absolutely fantastic. I had to rush off to do the Give Us a Clue, which, as you heard Dave Dunn saying, was, as it happened, worth doing it. Right, about 25 years ago, a lady called Rachel Carson wrote a book. Became a classic, very, very famous book called Silent Spring. Another gentleman who's very well known for his work on wildlife is Mr. David Attenborough. And the last track off this album, This Is Man's World, David Attenborough reads an extract from Silent Spring by Rachel Carson. Very, very interesting. Listen to it. It's called A Fable for Tomorrow.
There was once a town in the heart of America where all life seemed to live in harmony with its surroundings. The town lay in the midst of a checkerboard of prosperous farms with fields of grain and hillsides of orchards where, in spring, white clouds of bloom drifted above the green fields. In autumn, oak and maple and birch set up a blaze of colour that flamed and flickered across a backdrop of pines. Then foxes barked in the hills and deer silently crossed the fields, half hidden in the mists of the autumn mornings. Along the roads, laurel, viburnum, and alder, great ferns and wildflowers delighted the traveller's eye through much of the year. Even in winter, the roadsides were places of great beauty, where countless birds came to feed on the berries and on the seed heads of the dried weeds rising above the snow. The countryside was, in fact, famous for the abundance and variety of its bird life, and when the flood of migrants was pouring through in spring and autumn, people travelled from great distances to observe them. Others came to fish the streams which flowed clear and cold out of the hills and contained shady pools where trout lay. So it had been from the days many years ago when the first settlers raised their houses, sank their wells, and built their barns. Then a strange blight crept over the area, and everything began to change. Some evil spell had settled on the community. Mysterious maladies swept the flocks of chickens, the cattle and sheep sickened and died. Everywhere was a shadow of death. The farmers spoke of much illness among their families. In the town, the doctors had become more and more puzzled by new kinds of sickness appearing among their patients. There had been several sudden and unexplained deaths, not only among adults, but even among children, who would be stricken suddenly while at play and die within a few hours. There was a strange stillness. The birds, for example, where had they gone? Many people spoke of them, puzzled and disturbed. The feeding stations in the backyards were deserted. The few birds seen anywhere were moribund. They trembled violently and couldn't fly. It was a spring without voices. On the mornings that had once throbbed with the dawn chorus of robins, catbirds, doves, jays, wrens, and scores of other bird voices, there was now no sound. Only silence lay over the fields and woods and marshes. On the farms the hens brooded, but no chicks hatched. The farmers complained that they were unable to raise any pigs. The litters were small and the young survived only a few days. The apple trees were coming into bloom, but no bees droned among the blossoms, so there was no pollination. and there would be no fruit. The roadsides, once so attractive, were now lined with browned and withered vegetation as though swept by fire. These too were silent, deserted by all living things. Even the streams were now lifeless. Anglers no longer visited them, for all the fish had died. In the gutters, under the eaves and between the shingles of the roofs, and the lawns, the fields and streams. No witchcraft, no enemy action had silenced the rebirth of new life in this stricken world. The people had done it themselves.
That was David Attenborough reading A Fable for Tomorrow from Silent Spring by Rachel Carson, a book which, as I was saying a couple of minutes ago, back when it was written, which must be around about 1960 now, I think, was very much a classic, rather controversial, and I think is still read by a lot of school children. If you get a chance to get hold of a copy of that book, I strongly recommend you read it. Finally, David Bellamy has written a story. Or at least he didn't write it, he gave the actual conservation themes and developed them. The story is written by Victor Pemberton, called Seraphina, the story of a whale. And Tom Baker has a role in it. Joanna Lumley plays Seraphina the whale. And David Bellamy plays himself. I'm going to leave you with an extract, the introduction in fact, from Seraphina, the story of a whale. And I promise you, we will play the album in its entirety. Sometime within the next couple of weeks, probably on a Sunday. I hope you've enjoyed this birthday conservation wildlife special, our interview with Dr. David Bellamy, but I'll leave you with Seraphina, the story of a whale.
The story you're about to hear could be happening right now, at this very moment. It's a story about the creatures who live in the great oceans of the world all around us. The same world they share with you and me. It's a story about a whale. A humpback whale. Her name is Seraphina. Ocean, a fresh breeze dances across the gentle waves, sending the occasional spray of foam high into the air. For a few glorious moments, the vast expanse of a great ocean remains undisturbed. But suddenly, two majestic creatures of the deep leap out of the water, their enormous bodies black on top with white bellies all shimmering in the hot midday sun. Joachim, the humpback whale, and Seraphina, his wife, swimming together as one, their huge flukes splashing in and out of the gentle white foam. Soon, they are joined by a third member of the family, their newly born cherubim.
Mother! Father! Look at me! Look at me! I can jump too!
An idyllic setting for any family on their first day out together. Father, mother, and newly born, leaping in and out of the dazzlingly blue water. Three is the air itself. But for some, freedom is short-lived.
Joachim, what is it? What's happened?
I've been hit! My side! There's something stuck in my side!
Joachim!
Father!
In great pain, Joachim begins a terrible life and death struggle, writhing in a stream of bubbling, bloody spray.
Joachim!
Father!
Joachim!
Father!
Joachim!
The way whale ship monster approaches as if from nowhere, holding fast to the line of the lethal harpoon now embedded deep in Joachim's side. The great whale leaps and turns, desperately trying to break loose by swimming off to sea. But the whale ship murderers are determined men.
Stop swimming, Joachim! I'm coming to help you!
No, Serafina! Take the child! Take Cherubim! Get out of here as fast as you can!
No, Joachim, no!
Hurry, Serafina, hurry!
Joachim's huge body is dragged closer and closer towards the whale ship, where an excited group of hunters are waiting for him with more harpoons and guns. And at the helm of the ship, his cold eyes watching Joachim's futile battle for survival, is the sinister figure of a man dressed in black from head to foot. It is the master whale killer, Captain Lucifer himself.
Get that whale aboard! Kill him! Kill! Kill! Kill!
Far around on the other side of the world, on board the Four Friends, a marine research vessel sailing in the Indian Ocean, strange sounds are beginning to appear on my sonar monitor. Unfamiliar sounds, unlike anything I have ever heard before. At first hearing, they sound like the song of a humpback whale, and yet it's not possible, because the few that still exist only survive in oceans far, far away. Only one man in the world can tell me what those sounds mean. That man is Adamus Plato.
And to find out more about Adamus Plato and the story of Serafina the humpback whale, I'm afraid you're going to have to listen another day, because the time has run out. Hope that's whet your appetite. If you're interested in getting hold of a copy of that album and listening to the story for yourself, I can tell you it's on the Music for Pleasure label, and the number is MFP5593, MFP5593, and it was produced through the Conservation Foundation and the Solid Rock Foundation Marketing. Well worth getting hold of, and all the profit from that does in fact go to the Conservation Foundation. Serafina, the story of a whale, and hopefully within the next 2 or 3 weeks we will play that for you in its entirety. It's well worth listening to, I can tell you. All right, Shropshire, hope you've enjoyed yourselves. Have a happy birthday here with Sunshine, 1 year old today. And that means that he has probably got something special. Now he's going to cram it all into an hour and a half.
Excuse me.
Pardon?
What's this here?
What's this here? That is our shield, sir.
Good grief.
That is the shield that Dave Dunn, Mrs. Dave Dunn, and a certain gentleman called Powell won last night at the Conquest Theatre.
Well, congratulations. Very good.
Thank you very much, sir. You sound so sincere when you said that.
Yeah. How much does that cost, then?
Anyway, Shropshire, he is here, the man himself, and he'll be with you right after the break. See you again soon. Bye.